Mr. Patterson, reel 9. Now, that's about it, as far as I know, from Wilmsham, unless you remember anything else that happened there. About how long were you there? You're not sure, I know. But
we'd be there about a week or something in that. We can't remember, but somewhere about a week we stayed there while they were interrogating us and kidding us on all the time that there was Red Cross people interviewing
you
us.
You told me that, yeah.
It was the Germans themselves. Not to do with Swiss Red Cross.
So, what happened next then?
And then they shipped us off in wagons again, straight into the camp at San Bostel. And it was a mixed camp. There was all Navy, but Navy and merchant seamen, that's what I'm trying to say. They were just, and there were some chaps being taken prisoner right early on the beginning of the war. And I remember one old chap there, there was him and his son. And he'd been a prisoner in the First World War. They'd taken him prisoner in the First World War, and then when this one come along, they sunk his ship again, and he'd got his son with him. And he said, it showed how cheerful they were. He said, I've had to bring him along so I could keep my eye on him. And that was his excuse for having his son there as a prisoner with him.
Wait, what was morale like? They'd been there a long time. Their morale was okay then?
They were very good, yeah. The merchant seamen anywhere in the world are usually be able to get on and rough it and come through smiling. And we weren't in that camp long. It was I think that place should have been there from the First World War, actually. But it was called San Bostel, and you could understand it, because it was mostly like being on the seashore. There was that much sand about in that area. And it wasn't very far from the camp that we finally finished up in, which was the new naval camp.
We'll come on to that. Now, what were you doing at San Bostel? How did you spend the
Nothing,
days?
Nothing, we just had to just wait for meals all day and fall in and be counted and things like that. We weren't.
What were the meals like there?
Well, just same as anywhere else, rough and ready.
You haven't told us yet, so if you tell us, you know, what the prisoner of war food was.
It was there. Very poor, and no matter where you went. But it was black bread. Well, it was black bread. It was made up out of anything, and it wasn't really flour, you know. And soup. We had this small amount of bread and the soup, and odd bits of butter, not butter, margarine. And jam and things like that. Just a very small amount for your daily ration. And it was same as all over wherever you went. It was poor food. Just enough to survive on.
Yes.
And in a camp where it wasn't a working camp, you got minimum rations altogether. Later on in life, when we got transferred from Marlag and Milag Nord, which was a purely naval camp.
Well, let's go on to that then, because you weren't at San Bostel more than a week or so, from the looks of things.
No, we could have been there 2 or 3 weeks. It's hard to say. But we weren't there very long. We were mixed up with the merchant seamen as well as others, but they separated us and sent us off to Marlag and Milag Nord, which was a new camp, and we had to help to build this camp. They kept bringing all the different materials in, and used us as labour to build these huts up to make a big new camp.
And so you were on a working party building the huts?
Yes. And we weren't really a working party. We used to fall in the morning and say, you go and do so and so. And all the time, I mean, knowing how our lads were, they were taking timber and tools and everything, as much as helping the Germans build these huts, we're helping ourselves to all the tools that we could gather. And after so many weeks of this, the Germans began to find that the progress on the huts weren't very great at all. We were chopping brand new pieces of timber that were supposed to make these huts and using them for kettle wedges, as we call them, for holding the kettle up on the stove for burning. And it was way behind on the amount of materials that they sent into the camp to build these huts. They got well behind with them and found that the two or three complete huts had been missing because they'd been sawn up and tools below. So the commander came along and he said, we were, as well as building huts for the men to live in, we were building a concert hut as well. And he said, you've got to return all these tools that's gone missing, and if you don't, you'll not have a concert hut. We're going to stop building that straight away. And we had a ring to have a good search round, and there's still a lot of tools missing that they'd lent us to build, with screwdrivers and saws and hammers and things like that. But we managed to, he said, there'd be no punishment if you put all these tools on the table at the end of the day. And that's what we'll call it today on that score, we're not punished yet. So we managed to find a few screwdrivers and hammers, but very little at all. And that was it, more or less carried on after that. But we had to be a lot more careful with the upbuilding preparations. But all the time there was lads there thinking about escaping, and that's what they wanted tools for, to be able to escape.
You know, was there
sort of
escape committee, or was anything organised on
the
escape?
It wasn't in my leg and my leg, no, at that time there was not an escape committee. They might have been, unbeknown to us, but we weren't there all that long to be able to get things organised to that extent. And that was...
What about, I mean, they asked
the
volunteers for working parties as well. Did you volunteer?
No. Only working inside the camp, in the compound. And they said they wanted volunteers to go and work in working parties, and you'd get better food and everything like that. But I don't think anybody volunteered. There might have been one or two. Then again, things were monotonous day in and day out. All you were doing were walking around the camp perimeter, and in some cases you thought it was better to go out to work than be stuck in a camp all day, and at least you'd see some different parts of Germany and whatever. And it went on for two or three weeks. Well, the big long huts and sectioned off to, I can't remember the exact amount, but there happened to be anything up to 10 different rooms in each hut, and in each room there'd be 20 to 30 men, and they were really big huts. And beds with wooden bunks, three-tier bunks, one on top of the other to get more men in the room, and palliasses made of straw, fends it up, let's go anywhere. And I think they had about one blanket issued by the Germans, and whichever else you've got, for what you brought from other camps. And they weren't bad huts at all. In fact, they were quite good the way they were made. A stove to each room where you warmed your stuff out of the Red Cross parcels, which, if I remember right, we did get a few Red Cross parcels in Blackhammer, in Marlag and Millag Nord. We had a few of these Red Cross parcels.
What
but
was the Red Cross
parcels? Oh, well, it was butter, tin of sardines, tin of spam or something similar, corned beef. It varied. You didn't get the same things in every one, but on a pretty general rule, that's what you got. Sugar and tea. If it was a Canadian parcel, you got coffee in it. But it was just enough to... One parcel for one man for a week was supposed to last for 2 weeks to help to supplement the German rations. But it was very good, all the stuff we got. Occasionally there was an issue of cigarettes with the parcel. Some stuff called bee mix or something, you mix the two to make like a meal. My memory on that score is fading to what was actually in the parcel, but it measured about 18 inches long and about 9 inches wide and 9 inches deep. Cardboard box full of the different things that were inside it.
Get 1 each or 1 each?
Yeah, well, this is the point. They were sent out on a ratio of one apiece, but at various times you didn't get any, depending on how things were going with the war. We were bombing the railway lines and disrupting the Germans as much as we could, and that's, in some cases, you went for weeks on end without a parcel.
It was only one parcel per week.
Yeah, you were supposed to get that, but we didn't get that. And in Marlag and Millag Nord, I don't think we ever had one parcel per week. We did when we got to the working camp later on, but even then they were disrupted, and sometimes you got none for weeks, and you'd have as many as one parcel between 10. Things like that.
So, anything else about the
It was a purely a naval camp for all naval prisoners, and they were setting it up to, would have been, if you could have stayed there and not gone out to work, it would have been a decent camp, I should imagine. You could see over the surrounding countryside, you could sometimes see great big hares, really big ones, you know. You could see them frolicking about in the distance. We'd have liked to get out amongst them to get one in the pot, but there wasn't much chance of that. And they'd send working parties out into the woods to gather a bit of firewood at times.
You didn't go on that, though?
I never got on that, no. And as I say, after we'd been asking for volunteers for so many weeks and nobody were bothering, they just rounded us all up and left, I should say, half of the men in the camp, and the other half, they shipped us all off to Stalag 8B, which was quite a few miles away.
And how long in total have you been at the naval camp? About?
Roughly about a month, possibly 2 months.
So it was into the summer?
Yes. And when they shipped us off to this working camp, it was over right on the border, up in not far from Ober Silesia. In fact, I think the actual camp was in Ober Silesia, up near the Polish-Ukrainian border. And it was a really big camp, that was. It was.
What was it like? Can you describe it?
Air Force, Army and Navy. They were Navy when we got there. But it was a really mixed camp. Russians, and the general run of all people that Germany wanted to keep in prison camps. And the Russians were in a really bad state. They didn't. They weren't covered by Geneva Convention, same as we were, and they hardly used to feed them at all. In fact, they were dying off through malnutrition all the time. And I remember one particular case where they used to send more round the Russian compound than round ours. They had these guard dogs and they used to send them in, and after a while they stopped that because they found the Russians were killing the guard dogs off and eating them, and it was really as bad as that for the food situation.
You were in separate compounds from what?
Yeah, in a big main camp, but in separate compounds. And they used to send us out for the food rations for the day down to the main cookhouse, and you'd go under guard, as many of you as it needed, to carry the rations back for the day and for the soup and things like that. And we'd go out, collect this food and bring it back in. But in other parts of the camp that had been... The prisoners had been there a hell of a lot longer than us. Been there from Dunkirk and earlier than that even. And we went out to get these rations, and it was a lot better. They had concerts in some of these other compounds, and so we thought it would be nice to go and see one of these concerts. So we passed the food on to some of the other lads, and then waited while the guard wasn't looking and nipped away, and we found his way down, and we turned round and saw he was following us, shouting, "Come here," and something like that, and we kept running. We thought, well, we could soon get out of the way, because most of the guards at that time weren't really fit men. They weren't fit for the front, but they were fit enough. But we thought we could get away. There were two of us, and we got nearly up to the other compound where the concerts were, and he caught us up, this German guard, and laughing all over his face, and he says, "You thought you could get away, didn't you?" We said, "Yeah." And actually, he'd been in the Olympic Games, the first one they had in Germany, and he'd been in there, and he were running in there before he'd got wounded in one of the battlefronts, and he were laughing like hell, because he caught us up easily, really, because he could run that fast.
Did he manage to visit the three compounds
earlier? Yeah, there was... Where one compound touched up to another. There was holes in the wire and all sorts. They made sure there were guards on all the in the guard boxes up in the towers, all around the camp itself. But in between the compounds, they didn't bother so much there, because lads used to find a way when the guards weren't looking and nip a bit of wire out and go through. In fact, my clothing, after I'd been there long, they issued us with army suits. Everybody had army suits after a time, and mine was in tatters. We were going through the wire, because you tried to get through, but you always got caught on some of this barbed wire, and I was in tatters with that. And we once, there was some, I forgot what it was. I think they were Senegalese, but it escapes my memory. I just can't tell you that. But there were some other men from another compound, and they'd got no shoes, they'd no boots on at all. They played in the bare feet, the team we were playing, because we used to organise in your own compound as near as you could, and have visitors from other compound, and we were playing against these chaps with no feet, no shoes on the feet, and we thought, oh, we'd lick them easy enough. And you know, their feet were harder than shoes. When they kicked you, you knew about it, and I finished up all bruised and battered. I don't think I finished the game off. They were really tough with the feet, and they licked us about 3 or 4 goals to nothing. I can't remember the score, but it just shows how different people were. You know, they were really tough. But we had one or two escapes into different compounds like that, and I did manage to see one concert. And
what was it like?
In what respect?
Well, what sort of act was on? How good was it? Or was it, you know?
Oh, it all made up out of the local lads. It's surprising how many of the lads could get made up with whatever costumes they could fix together out of paper and that. And some of them really looked like women when they got dressed up like women. And there was good comedians and people that could play instruments, and it was really good. And they used to put shows on, such as Gilbert and Sullivan's, Mikado's and things like that. That was in the main camp, but in our own camp, when we got to the working camp, we had a concert.
Hang on, I'll come to that. I meant at Stalag 8B. That's covered there. Anything else that you had while you were there? Or anything else you remember about 8B?
Well, there was I didn't actually see him, but they told me that Bader, he was in that camp, and he came out of the thing, and he managed to get away from the hut he was in and cut the German flag down while he was there. But on top of that, when they had that much trouble with him, they were going to shift him to another place, they brought him out to take him away to this camp, and he treated it as a kind of a joke, and he was going along inspecting all the German guards that were around.
Did you see that, or just hear?
No,
about
I didn't see that. I didn't see him. But this is what they told me happened in that camp. He was in there.
How did the guards treat you in Stalag 8B?
Well, practically same as anywhere else. The thousands and thousands of prisoners. I don't know exactly how many, but they'd got enough on just keeping watch on us without causing too much trouble themselves by annoying us. If they did get a chance to hit you with a rifle, they would do. They didn't need much of an excuse, some of them, but others were fairly decent.
Now, how long were you in there? You weren't there that long either, were you?
No, only a few weeks in there, and then they parceled us up and sent us off to a place called Bowen Arbite Battalion 21 in Blackhammer, over Silesia. And that was a big...
That's part of Poland, is it? Or is it in the German bit of Poland?
I should say, over Silesia, I'd say it was Poland. And it was a big new synthetic oil distillery we're building, right from scratch. It was already partly built when we got there, but we were there to make it go along a bit faster.
And this was there was an actual camp at Blackhammer, was there,
yeah,
as well?
Yeah.
Could you describe the camp first before we go on?
It was right at the side of a canal, which they called the Adolf Hitler Canal. And at the top, at the entrance to the camp, there was a beautiful sign, and it showed you seagulls and boats and everything on this sign. And you thought, oh, you're going down to an holiday camp, and that was the idea. And you went down this, between these huts. There were German huts on the outside of the barbed wire, and ours huts were inside. And the huts were near enough the same that what we were building at...
How big a camp was it?
That's something where my...
That's all right.
It was fairly big. There'd be anything up to 20 or 30 huts in it, I should say. But right between... dividing between our camp and the next camp was what they called Stalag E3. Ours were Bowen Arbite Battalion 21, and theirs was Stalag E3, and there was a dividing section between, a space between with barbed wire, and all the other lads were kept separate from us. Mostly they'd come from Dunkirk, but I could never understand why they had the camp on the other side. E3 was about the same size as ours, and we all worked on the same site eventually, but they kept us separate for some reason. I don't know if it's for their benefit to make sure they could control us better or what, but they always said that our camp was... With it being Bowen Arbite Battalion, it means working camp, and it was attached to the German army. And they always say, I think it was a bit of kidology, but we don't know. They said that if the German guards that we were with got ordered up to the front or wherever they were ordered to go, we should have to go with them. And I think that's why they kept a separate camp. But it was never proved that, but...